This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The halfway stage of Pompey's league campaign has arrived, but the Blues will be hoping to kickstart the run-in with a more positive outcome than the last match.
Raggett on halfway will gather, but the full-time whistle has gone here at Fratton Park, and Lincoln City have beaten Portsmouth by a goal to nil.
Before 7 o'clock, we'll be hearing the post-match thoughts of the gaffer, who pinpoints what needs to be done to improve going forward.
The two results are frustrating, vastly different games, but we have to recognise where we are, what we can learn from defeats all of the time, and work hard to put that right.
And we'll also hear from new signing Lewis Ward, who spoke about the many reasons why he chose Pompey as the club to spend the remainder of the season at.
It was one of those where it was just a quick done, got a phone call, was like, yeah, Portsmouth's a huge club, historic and massive, so it was just one of those where it was just an opportunity that I couldn't turn down.
Unfortunately, it was another defeat for the Blues in midweek, and it's not left us short for conversation on tonight's show. Was Jack Watmore's challenge truly worthy of a 3-game suspension? Are Pompey once again proven to be just short of the quality required to finish in the automatics? Or do you believe still that with 23 league matches to play, Kenny Jackett can get the job done without the need of playoffs? You've got just under an hour to get your thoughts and pre-match predictions across to the panel this evening, right here on 93.7 Express FM. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to another episode of the Football Hour here on the only radio station from the great waterfront city, Express FM. This season, the show is being driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. Head over to stagecoachbus.com for the latest information regarding fares, timetables and COVID-related guidelines. Coming up between now and 7 o'clock this evening, we'll be hearing the post-match thoughts of manager Kenny Jackett following the midweek defeat at home to Lincoln City, an interview with new signing Lewis Ward, the opinions of my two guests, which tonight are Dean Adams and Danny Crown, and of course reading the text, tweets and emails from you back home, the Pompey fans. And you can get in touch with the show at any point between now and 7 o'clock. Simply text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Otherwise, you can email into pompey@expressfm.com, tweet including @ExpressFM, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. But before we do get into any of those tonight, I'm afraid we are obliged to hear the full events of the Blues' last outing. Kenny Jackett welcomed Michael Appleton's Lincoln City to Fratton Park in midweek with the aim of bouncing back from last week's defeat to Hull and leapfrogging the Imps in second spot. Your commentary team for this one combined Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Lincoln will be getting us underway. They'll go from right to left in this first half, kicking towards the Fratton end. Portsmouth going from left to right as we are underway here at Fratton Park. And it's a really good run from Lincoln. And then diving in on halfway was Jack Watmore. And Lincoln are adamant he's gone over the top of the ball here. Hoffa's in a heap in the centre circle, and Watmore is being spoken to by the referee. Free kick.
Oh, it looked a good challenge from me. It looked like he won the ball.
A straight red card for Jack Watmore, and Watmore can't quite believe he's been sent off.
Well, yellow is going to be a surprise, and now Portsmouth find themselves down to 10 men, ball in towards their penalty area.
Header on goal is tipped wide by McGilvery, and he had to make that save. It's a Lincoln corner,
and Williams is going back to the right back area where Raggett wasn't, and he has to really sharply come across, and he stabbed it forward, and here's Ryan Williams. Williams to the dead ball line. There's two to aim for. He can pick it up. Stood up to the far post. Mark was the target. Hagkeeper got a hand to it, and Lincoln are going to scramble it away successfully. Back underway as we move into the final 20 minutes. Was Hopper offside? Pompey claim he was, but they're told to carry on, and McGrandles in the area. Looks for Rogers. It's loose for McGrandles. McGrandles! Saved by McGilvery, and Nicolaisen just says anywhere will do, including behind for a corner. There's a chance for Rogers. Can he work the shot? Trying to 1-2. Lovely bit of play. Chance for Rogers. Nicolaisen with the challenge. It's clearly a good challenge.
He won the ball. Yeah, he won the ball.
He won the ball there. And there's a half-hearted appeal, more from the coaching staff than the Lincoln players, and it's a Lincoln throw. It's not a dive that Curtis is saying. The challenge is sent him to the ground, but it's clearly won the ball. And there's a chance for Johnson to get a shot away. It's left to Grant. Grant keeps the ball moving. Ayoma's inside the penalty area, going round Curtis, cross to the far post. Nobody there for Lincoln. Still, they might be able to force it in, and they have done. And Lincoln have scored. And it's the substitute, Morgan Rogers, who puts it into the corner of the net. And with just 11 minutes remaining, Portsmouth's defences are breached. It's Portsmouth 0, Lincoln 1. Byers stays on the edge of the box. Daniels whips this in, deep towards the far post. Curtis nods it down. Is it cleared off the line? I think it is. Good defending, and Lincoln scrambled away on the goal line. And Portsmouth inches away from getting a leveller. Daniels, ball back into the box. Raggett flicks it on. Oh, Nicolaisen just went slightly too soon. And Palmer, the goalkeeper, has it. Towards the edge of the six-yard box. The header is loose in the six-yard box. It's going to go back to Curtis. Pompey need one more good delivery. Towards the far post. Heads go up. Lincoln clear halfway. It's gathered by Byers. Back in the box, trying to find Curtis. And Lincoln can clear to halfway. And the danger might be over. As Johnson heads forward, Lincoln are going to pick it up. And Portsmouth's opportunity has disappeared. And would that be the last one? There's 2 minutes remaining. Byers tries to help it on, but it goes straight up in the air. And Lincoln have got players under it. Raggett on halfway will gather, but the full-time whistle has gone here at Fratton Park, and Lincoln City have beaten Portsmouth by a goal to nil.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
The highlights there from Pompey's 1-0 defeat at home to Lincoln City on Tuesday night. The first time in pretty much exactly 2 years that the Blues suffered back-to-back league defeats. The last time that happened, Kenny Jackett's side were beaten at home by Blackpool and away to Oxford between the 12th and 19th of January 2019. Their next game, I'm afraid to say, happened on this day 2 years ago, and that was a 3-2 loss at Luton Town. I'm delighted to say that joining me on tonight's show is sports broadcast journalist Dean Adams, who has covered games for Sky Sports and the BBC, as well as having previously worked for Pompey, looking after academy recruitment somewhat 2 seasons ago. Dean, it's a pleasure to once again welcome you onto the show. How have you been?
Evening, Jake. How are you? Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, not too bad. Still reeling off of Tuesday's result, but we'll come on to that very shortly. Joining you tonight, Dean, we have Mr. Danny Crown, lifelong Pompey supporter, who is always happy to call in and have his say. Danny, once again, thank you for joining us this evening. It's great to have you alongside for the next hour or so.
Yeah, good evening, Jake. Good to be back.
We just heard the highlights of the Blues' most recent match then, Dean. We'll get straight into it, but really the only highlight that we can take from that game was the decision made to send off Jack Watmore just half an hour into the match. What did you make of that one?
Well, we were there, Jake, weren't we? And it happened sort of direct in our sort of eye line. When you see it in real time, you think that's an aggressive tackle, that's a yellow card, and it's as simple as that. So when the red card came out, I think everyone was quite surprised by that. And I'm a bit disappointed and gutted for Jack, to be honest, because the week he's had with the two own goals against Hull City, the red card this week as well, he's broken a few mirrors, hasn't he? He's had a run of bad luck.
You say it took us all by surprise. It certainly took our commentator Andy Moon by surprise. You can hear it in his commentary. I don't think he was expecting that.
Good. And then diving in on halfway was Jack Watmore. And Lincoln are adamant he's gone over the top of the ball here. A straight red card for Jack Watmore.
It certainly was a decision which didn't quite go down too well with the Pompey camp, Danny. Can you understand the frustration shared by Kenny Jackett and his team?
Yeah, definitely. I think what makes it worse is that everyone see the tackle, and like Dean just said, it was everyone thought yellow card straight away. And the ref took so long to make that decision. So usually the refs, when they're short to red card, they're straight over red cards, brandish, job done. Whereas this one, he was taking his name,
And I thought, okay, yellow card. Very, very shocked that it was red. And I totally understand Pompey's frustration. I think most of us were frustrated that he was shown a red, to be fair.
Yeah. And having looked back at some of the slow-mo replays and the still images, Dean, it does look like a bad challenge. But like you said previously, in real time, from the highlights posted after the game, perhaps not so malicious. And look, I know that in this instance, referee Sam Perkis didn't have VAR to help decide the colour of the card shown. But is this an incident that can be used as an example of when you tackle which looks a lot worse when it's slowed down and paused as opposed to the actual real time viewing of the challenge?
When you look at photos of the incident and when you watch the video and you watch the video in slow mo, it does look a really bad tackle, and he has gone in pretty. I think his feet. Both of his feet did leave the ground at one stage. And at the end of the day, if the referee deems it as over-aggressive and dangerous, then it is a straight red card. And the more you look at it, at first I thought it was a yellow card. The more you look at it, I don't know. I can see what the referee's done. I also heard someone in the press box say on Tuesday night that the referee's given something like, is it 8 red cards in 6 games or something crazy like that?
I think he's refereed 20 games this season, of which 8 of them have seen red cards. Yeah, and I think the yellow card count is somewhat extortionate as well. But you are right in regards to the fact that he's very happy with dishing out his cards. It's certainly one who's not one to take the flak.
I just think from our point of view, with Jack's had a great season. He's a solid defender, and I think he's excellent. But you've just got to think a little bit before you make those tackles, because his feet did leave the ground. So, and when your feet do leave the ground, you can't really argue too much.
I am admittedly still torn on it, Danny. When the ref blew for the foul, whilst it was frustrating, as it did look as though Jack did win the ball, you could perhaps, as Dean mentioned, perhaps understand why he has decided to call it back, and an issue perhaps for a red card. It was a meaty challenge. It was essentially on the furthest forward attacking Lincoln player. And unfortunately, when you go into a challenge like he did, a leg raised off the floor at one stage, 2 off the floor, studs even slightly showing, it leaves the referee with quite a quick and difficult decision to make.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's when your feet leave the floor, you're not in control. And although his studs weren't, it wasn't horrendous, but it's quick. I think the frustrating thing, and I think Jack will look back at this, is did he need to make that challenge? It was near the halfway line. Yeah, it was their furthest attacking player, but he still had the best part of 60 yards to run until he got to goal.
Yeah.
So I think he'll look at that and think, I probably shouldn't have made the challenge. Again, Dean's spot on. If the ref seems it as dangerous play, foul play, then he's going to give that red card. And if you haven't got control under that tackle, then you're in trouble straight away, really.
Do you think that perhaps the reaction of the visiting players helped influence the colour of the card, Dean? Because it looked for so long that he was going to issue a yellow before suddenly reaching into his back pocket for the red. Do you think maybe the surrounding players had somewhat of a deciding factor?
Quite possibly, yeah. You see a lot of tackles this season, especially. I've noticed it a lot more, and I think that's because the crowds aren't there. You can hear the players. When there is a tackle, and even if it's not a heavy tackle, you can hear some of the players go, ref, yellow card, yellow card. You can hear the players saying, they're trying to get other players booked. You can hear them saying it.
Yeah.
And that's quite disappointing.
And unfortunately, to add on to this, we heard yesterday afternoon that the club's appeal to the FA to have the punishment rescinded was rejected by an independent panel, meaning that Jack Watmore will serve a 3-match suspension and miss tomorrow's trip to Charlton, next Saturday's home fixture with Plymouth Argyle, and the rearranged game at home to Swindon on the 9th of February. And it's quite obvious to say, Danny, that his absence will be a big loss to Pompey.
Oh, 100%. He's our best defender by country mile, in my opinion. Solid player. It's been so nice to have him back for a run of games, no injuries. He just reads the game well. Yeah, I don't want to say too much. I honestly really rate Jack at our football club, and he'll be a huge, huge loss. And especially with games against Charlton and Plymouth, both good attacking sides. And they could cause us problems without Jack in the side, I think.
And whilst his presence within that back four will obviously be apparent in the next couple of weeks, Dean, are you confident with the backup options that Kenny has at his disposal? We're likely to see tomorrow Rasmus Nikolaisen partner Sean Raggett, tomorrow and within these upcoming games.
Yeah, he's obviously a big miss, and he's had a great season, as we said earlier. Rasmus Nicolaisen coming in, yeah, he's looked good from what I've seen of him. I wouldn't be totally surprised if I saw Tom Naylor dropping back tomorrow. But, yeah, Rasmus has got his chance. He needs to come in, he needs to play well, and we need to build on that. But we do need a result tomorrow.
Let's hear now how the manager, Kenny Jackett, reacted to that red card decision on Tuesday night. The gaffer spoke to Andy Moon on the touchline at Fratton Park to deliver his assessment of the match.
Kenny, a fair bit to discuss there, but yeah. I'll start with a big talking point. Was it a red card that Jack Watmore received?
I was expecting a yellow. I was surprised that it was a red. I thought up to that point it was an even game, two good teams, us trying to get, you know, the likes of Marcus Harness on the ball, Andy Cannons, John Marquis in good situations, and on a slick pitch, on a quick pitch as well. You know, it looked a good game. As you say, the big incident in the game anyway was a sending off, and I was expecting a yellow. It did surprise me that it was a red, and we will appeal. Yeah.
How did you feel your team reacted to that?
Yeah, there's a lot of good things. I feel for the players. I'm proud of the effort that they put in. We're unlucky not to get a goal or a decision or two in their box as well, which didn't unfortunately work for us. So, you know, proud of the effort they put in, proud of the performances. Frustrated, obviously, with the results. Vastly different games from Saturday to tonight. But overall, you know, once we get past that, we're exactly the halfway point of the season anyway with games, and the second half of the season will come in a short period of time, much shorter period of time than there has been. Usually you get to this stage and you're almost a week into February, maybe just looking at the run-in, whereas, you know, we'll be approaching that point with something like 20 games left. So, you know, for us anyway, we have to maximise that, work hard. You know, we're fifth in the league, work hard to close the gap between ourselves and the top. We do feel we've got a good squad and a good side as well. We have to make sure we stick together, work hard as a group, and the two results are frustrating, as I say, vastly different games, but we have to recognise where we are, what we can learn from defeats all of the time, and work hard to put that right.
How do you praise 41 points for the first half of a season?
Yeah, not bad. You do need to get up in those 80 pluses all of the time, and we've got some work to do to get there, definitely. You know, some good sides in the division, but, you know, similarly, it won't be easy for anybody either, you know, and for us, you know, we have to work as hard as we can to try to get up into those 80 pluses, really, to give ourselves a chance of promotion.
Should you have had a penalty for that handball in the second half?
The players do think that. I mean, it, you know, can usually sound, it sounded like a hand, and you know, was the player's hand, which is above his head, in an unnatural position? You know, they're the rules, but, you know, the referee made the decision, and we have to accept that.
How big a blow has these 4 days been to lose at home to Hull and Lincoln?
Yeah, it is. You know, without the crowd, obviously, it does even up home and away. You know, I do think that. But yes, you know, it's disappointing. I wouldn't say necessarily a blow, because there's so much of the season to go. And if we'd won both, nothing would be decided. But yeah, I am disappointed to lose both games, definitely. We never want to lose games, and we have to learn and quickly understand why we lose and what we've got to do to put it right. That's the important thing.
There have been some reports linking you with Italian midfielder Michele Adari and Dopo. I hope I'm saying that right. Is there any truth in those?
We do look and have looked abroad, definitely, in recent windows, and in this window, definitely. Rules have changed now. You know, with Brexit, made it a lot tighter to be able to bring, you know, foreign players in. But similarly, you know, we have also signed two midfield players as well. So, you know, I would think now that's unlikely.
Our colleague Andy Moon there with Blues boss Kenny Jackett, following on from the midweek defeat at home to Lincoln City. Yesterday afternoon, Pompey announced the signing of goalkeeper Lewis Ward, who joins the club on loan until the end of the season from League Two side Exeter City. The 23-year-old has been speaking to Ollie Marsh about the role he expects to play at Fratton Park.
I know my role coming into the club. I know I'm not going to walk straight in and play at the weekend, so I'm here to compete and challenge, and it's just good all round if everyone knows that there's that competing factor. Everyone's got to be on their toes and got to be ready, and it improves everyone. So if I can push Craig and he pushes me, then it's great.
We'll be taking a listen to that interview with the new Blues goalie when we return after this short break. Whilst we are gone for the next few minutes, why not use that time to pick up your phone or open up your computer to get in touch with us this evening. What are your thoughts on Kenny's decision to bring in another goalkeeper? Do you believe there is still room for improvement within the squad, with the end of a transfer window creeping up this coming Monday evening? And are you still confident that Pompey can challenge for a place in the top two this season? All the usual ways to get in contact. It's at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter. You can text your name, message and score prediction to 81400, but be sure to include Express at the start of those. Elsewhere, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. We'll be reading some of those out in the next part of the show, so stick around here to ExpressFM for the continuation of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Please remember, but if you do need to travel via public transport, it must be essential and a face covering must be worn throughout your journey. Head over to stagecoachbus.com for more information regarding Stagecoach and government COVID guidelines. We've got an email in now from Alan Swift. Good evening to you, Alan. Thank you for getting in touch. Hi, Jake. I felt we've got away with playing a winger as a second striker, but our luck has run out. Kenny doesn't want to play a genuine goal scorer like Jordi Huwula as a second striker in a 4-4-2. Even worse, he's left him out of the cold. He admitted after the game that is true. At times, I just cannot get into Jackett's head. We simply have to win tomorrow to stop this slide, settling for a 1-0 own goal win for us. Charlton are a very good side, and the table says it all. Alan in Southsea on the emails there. And a point raised there about Jordi Huwula-Dean, who has been, well, yeah, frozen out of the team in the last two matches, not named on either of those benches. And does that give you some sort of indication as to perhaps how far down the pecking order he is in this squad?
Yeah, it's especially when you play at home. And I know we've played sort of Hull and Lincoln, who are good sides. But you'd expect, I know Ellis Harrison's on the bench, but you expect more sort of forward-thinking players. And I've been surprised Jordy's not on the bench. What I've seen of Jordy, he's been absolutely excellent. And he did score a wonder goal against somebody at home, didn't he? He's looked good from what I've seen, and it is a surprise. I just think when you play teams like Lincoln and Hull, I think the way Jackett is, he goes a little bit more conservative, and I think he goes for that clean sheet first, and we build on that clean sheet. And I think you can see from the last two games, we've gone away from the 4-4-2. We've sort of slotted back into the 4-2-3-1. And it's frustrating, and we haven't scored a goal. And you look at John Marquis in those last two games, and he looks so isolated and frustrated up front, and he needs somebody up there with him.
Yeah. Mike T on the text. Good evening, Jake. Time to pass the Jaffa Cakes round again. Mike, I did yesterday, but on Tuesday night, sorry, but it didn't quite work out, did it? He continues his text by saying, I reckon Pompey will bounce back to secure their first win in three. It was Jack's first straight red card in his career too. He's a top defender with a great head, and he'll be sadly missed in our next three big games. Mike T and Southsea there on the text. Roger and Gosport, good evening, he says. What can I say? Two losses and that's it. You can't win every game. To be honest, I don't know what Kenny Jackett is supposed to do. A lot of the blame should go to the players. Let's go for it tomorrow. We've got to keep the faith. Roger in Gosport. And he continues by saying, I watched the game and I honestly don't think the challenge warranted a red card. Roger in Gosport on the text there. And another point raised by Roger there, Danny, is that Pompey need to bounce back tomorrow against Charlton. It's not going to be an easy game. We'll come on to what we're going to expect in that one in the next part of the show. But in terms of bouncing back, it's something which Pompey are quite often used to doing. We mentioned in the previous part of the show that it's only the first time in the space of 2 years that Pompey have lost back-to-back league games. It's a fantastic record under Kenny Jackett. So we just need to make sure that doesn't continue into an even further rut.
Yeah, I agree. I think, to be fair, if Jack didn't get sent off on Tuesday night, I know the performance wasn't exactly exciting, but I think we would have won that game. Lincoln, yeah, they're not a bad side, but they didn't really look anything out of the ordinary either. And so I don't think we've got a problem bouncing back. Yeah, Charlton are a tough opposition, but I think if we can find our scoring form again, and I do agree, when we started playing the two up front and we was attacking teams, we was dominating, we was absolutely smashing them. And now all of a sudden we seem to be very withdrawn again, seem to be afraid to attack and go forward. And yeah, I think against Charlton now, I would have been happy with 6 points from nine these last three games. But now I think tomorrow turns into kind of a must-win game. If we want to stay up close to the top two, I think tomorrow is now a must-win game for us, really.
Yeah, and after six games without conceding for Pompey, that's now five goals shipped in two matches for Craig McGillivray. But arguably, Dean, not a lot that he could have done about that. You know, he's been a top performer throughout the entire campaign, last campaign as well, and really over these last two matches, which have, unfortunately, seen five goals scored in the back of Pompey's net. He's still been a great player and arguably keeping the scoreline down.
Yeah, that's football for you. You can go six games without letting a goal in and then suddenly you get hammered 4-0, and that is football. But Craig's had a magnificent season. He's an excellent goalkeeper. He has kept the scores down. He's done some excellent saves and he's not at fault for that. I don't know where the fault is, to be totally fair, because as a unit, as a team, it's still the same players that went six games without conceding a goal. I think we came up against a whole side on the day that looked absolutely excellent. And Lincoln the other night, they played attractive football and they were these one-touch, small triangle football they play. They were a good side as well. And we've just been unlucky. And I think come this weekend, I think we need to shake it up and freshen it up a little bit.
Yeah. John Fitzpatrick on Twitter. I think it's going to be a very difficult game tomorrow as we're now going against Charlton. I feel it might be another loss tomorrow, but I hope they do win and we'll beat Charlton. We need another 3 points. Come on, you Blues. I hope they win tomorrow. John Fitzpatrick on Twitter. Good evening to you, John. Thank you for getting in touch. Linda Mayle on the emails. We need to put a bad week behind us. We did not become a bad team overnight. Let's hope tomorrow we can get back to winning ways and get another new record run going. Play up Pompey. Linda on the emails. Thank you for your email, Linda. And a final one here from Adam Dark on the text. Good evening, gents. The issue for me is the front three. They aren't playing with the same cohesion and fluidity they were previously. Harness looks less of a threat playing off the right, and Curtis is clearly off form. He's going to have to use the likes of Jacobs and Hawula in wide areas, but he doesn't really have any like-for-like replacements. I think that's his biggest problem right now, and it does need freshening up. Adam Dark on the text there. Danny, a very sensible comment, or a very sensible series of comments there in regards to perhaps why Pompey have been a little bit off the boil in the last two games. Do you think a change is needed just to freshen up and try and get that confidence back and really get Pompey scoring goals again?
Yeah, change never hurts. And yeah, the fact we went 5-6 games unbeaten, hardly conceding any goals, you know, we tonked Wimbledon 4-0. It could have been a lot more, but with a heavy defeat and then a defeat with a red card, it can cause confidence to dip, and bringing that bit of fresh legs into the side, I think that's definitely the way forward. And you know, we've got a couple of new signings in midfield now. Let's chuck them in, get them some game time, and see how they go, really. But I do think it's key that we need to give Marquez support. He's such a good striker, and he knows where the back of the net is. He proved it with Doncaster, and yeah, we've got to give him the support as well if we're going to move forward from this, I think.
Yeah. OK, then, we're now going to hear from the Blues' latest signing. Exeter City goalkeeper Lewis Ward joined the club on an end-of-season loan deal yesterday afternoon. Following the announcement, the goalie spoke to Ollie Marsh about the moment he first heard of Pompey's interest and what he expects to gain from the loan.
Yeah, so it happened quite quickly. Obviously, injuries it's unfortunate in January, and things can happen quite quickly. So just coming into sort of number two to start with and competing and challenging, really. So that's kind of what I'm here for.
And just in terms of choosing Pompey, what was the main incentive for that?
It was one of those where it was just a quick done, got a phone call, was like, yeah, Portsmouth's a huge club, historic and massive, so it was just one of those where it was just an opportunity that I couldn't turn down.
And I should be saying welcome back, really, because you had a short spell with us when you were 16, I believe.
Yeah, it was a youth team loan, sort of end of the season. I was trying to get experience for 18s football, and I think that was another injury at that point, and I think some of the lads are still here from those days, so it'd be nice to reacquaint almost.
When you were at Reading and coming through the youth ranks there, you had a number of loan moves, and you seemed to be just sort of working your way up through the leagues. You started in the National League South, then the National League, and then League Two with Forest Green, and of course League Two with Exeter as well. Do you see this as the next step up that ladder?
Yeah, definitely. I think there was a pathway at Reading, and that was stepping up the leagues and working almost through the Championship side. And then obviously I had to leave, joined Exeter, which was great. And that was my sort of home League Two start and trying to establish myself in the league. And then this is my next step into League One, and hopefully can go further.
Because, of course, a lot of people will say that academy football is different to men's football. What are kind of the standout moments and the learning curves that you had when you were at the likes of Hungerford and Aldershot?
So Hungerford was sort of one of the first ones, along with Margate, and just playing in front of fans. That was one of the biggest things. You turn up to a game, there's points riding on it, there's people's weekends enjoyment, whether they're going to be happy or sad over the next couple of days until the next game. So those kind of games with the fans were really standouts. And stepping up from Conference South with 200 to 500 fans to Aldershot, which was 3,000 at home games, which was incredible. And then into League Two, it's even more. So that's just one of the things that just stands out for me.
So this season, you must feel like you're sort of going back to those academy days with empty stadiums. How have you sort of dealt with it?
Yeah, so it was tough, especially because sort of the week before fans came back, I got injured. So it was devastating to see fans back in the stadium and me sort of sitting there watching the games as well. But it was nice when the fans were back in there for that short period of time. It's sad that they're not continuing that, but hopefully we can get through this and they'll be back in the stadiums again.
You mentioned your injury. Just talk us through that one and what it was.
Yeah, so it was an ankle rupture, which was a shame. I thought I was playing well at the time, started a run of games in the league, and I came for a cross and managed to get taken out by a teammate and just landed awkwardly on my ankle. And I was very lucky that it was the time frame that it was, not longer. So I'm all good now, which is perfect.
And in terms of the rehab for for an ankle injury, that's pretty good to be able to work your way back up pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was kind of a case of the swelling was very abrupt and very brutal. It was almost up to my knee, so the bruising came out, and it was just trying to settle that down, get the swelling down, and then just strengthen up the ligaments, get the range back, making sure it's strong when passing, kicking, and then obviously a goalie, you've got to jump, land on it, so it was making sure that was all strong as well. So it took a little longer than probably what I wanted, but it's made sure that it won't be a long-lasting injury.
New signing Lewis Ward there speaking after the announcement of his arrival on loan from Exeter City just over 24 hours ago. We'll be hearing the second half of that chat with Ollie Marsh very shortly. Let's talk about the signing then, lads. Dean Adams will come straight to you first of all. Lewis Ward on loan from League Two outfit Exeter City's spent a large portion of the last couple of seasons out injured. He has been plagued with injuries. It is unfortunate. He's still a very young goalkeeper looking to come through the ranks. As mentioned, he has spent time previously at Pompey in a youth loan back somewhat nearly a decade ago now. But a player which you can't really deny the signing needed to happen.
Yeah, you look at, I think Alex Bass has been a little bit unfortunate with the couple of recent injuries he's had, and he's going to be a decent keeper as well, Alex, and I feel a little bit sorry for him. But we've got a number one we have conceded 5 goals in the last 2 games, but that's just a little bit unfortunate. But Craig's had a magnificent season, as I said earlier. But I think the new guy coming in, it was needed, it is needed, and it's hard to get a number two in that would just come in, settle to be number two and fight for the number one position. But he probably knows he's not going to really, really play, is he? But we need someone with that little bit of experience that can come in and just sit on the bench. And if we need him, he's there.
Yeah. And it's a player who, Danny, comes into the side, as Dean mentioned. It's very difficult to find a goalkeeper who is happy to essentially expected to be on the bench for, the remainder of the campaign. But he's happy. He's hungry to come into the squad and really compete with Craig McGilvery for that first team spot. And I guess as any goalkeeper, that is the main aim. That's what you want to achieve at any club, is to get into that number one spot. But it gives Craig that bit of competition now with the injury to Alex Bass, which is a stress fracture to his leg. We're likely to see him out until at least the end of February. It leaves quite a gap in Pompey's options now. With the likes of Duncan Turnbull, Taylor Seymour, upcoming goalkeepers, not had too much game experience, was this a wise decision to, I wouldn't say Kenny doesn't trust the likes of Turnbull and Seymour, he sees the potential of them clearly to have them within his squad, but is it just a case of having someone who is more experienced and who is able to come in at the click of the finger if the worst were to happen to Craig, if he picks up an injury or a suspension or even perhaps dips out of form? Do you think this is a wise move?
Yeah, I think he's still played games wherever he's been. Where, I know it's League Two and his loan spells are in the National League, but he's still got a lot of game time under his belt. And I think when Alex Bass took Craig's spot as number one for a long period, I think that sort of that drilled into Craig that he needs to work harder, because in my opinion, he was always our number one. But I think that helped. And now someone's coming in that's got league experience. Craig must know in the back of his head, if he does have a dip in form, this guy could step up and potentially become our number one for the rest of the season. I'm not sure that would be the case. I think Craig is a strong goalkeeper for this level of football. But yeah, I do think it's a good decision. It's nothing. Turnbull, like you said, he's an up-and-coming keeper. It's unfortunate for him his last appearance was in the hammering at Peterborough. But yeah, I think, to be fair, Kenny's got this one right.
Yeah, and both Duncan Turnbull and Taylor Seymour now will have two experienced Football League goalkeepers to feed off of and to learn from in training. And, you know, hopefully that could boost their chance of getting into a squad in the future. OK then, we are just about to approach 6:40 now, which means it's time for our second and final break of the night. And there's not too long left for you back home to get your thoughts across to us this evening. Why not use this next break to text, tweet or email in your score predictions for Pompey's visit to Charlton Athletic. All of the methods you need to be aware of to get in touch with us tonight can be found on our website expressfm.com. So don't go anywhere and join us again for the third and final part of tonight's show. Myself, Dean and Danny will be back in just a few moments to preview Pompey's next league fixture and hear the rest of that interview with Lewis Ward right here on the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour, which is brought to you tonight by Stagecoach Across the South. We're going to hear again from new signing Lewis Ward. He continued his chat with Ollie Marsh by discussing that long-term injury, how he recovered from it, and even recalls the incredible moment he carried on playing despite having picked up a nasty injury.
I think I'm right in saying it's not the first injury you've had. The story goes that you were playing in a game against Crewe, you broke your arm and then you actually finished the game.
Yeah, so similar to sort of the ankle, I just finished the game, thought I could get through it, and sort of a corner came in, I think it was 80th minute or so, and I've gone to punch it. Crewe defender's come through, I've punched the ball, he's headed my arm. I thought, oh, that's a little bit tender, just a little knock. Physio came on, checked it, all fine. Then a couple of minutes later, I made a save and thought, oh, that doesn't feel right at all. So 2 minutes after that, we'd already made all our subs, so I couldn't have come off anyway. So I thought I'd try and finish it. And then there's corners coming into the box. It was 1-1, so just try and get through it. And yeah, it was one of those where if I'd known I broke it, I don't know if I would have played on, but I didn't think I'd broken my arm, so I just had to play on, really.
I mean, regardless of that, it must say a lot about your character that you were happy to play on, and I suppose the adrenaline must have been a bit of a factor as well.
Yeah, I think at the time we were both challenging for sort of a top three spot. I think it was second v third at the time, and it was one of those where it was 1-1, it's a tight game, there's no sub, we've already made all our subs, and yeah, I thought I could carry on, so I was just happy to get through the rest of the game.
Normally, we always like to talk to players that come in about times that they played at Fratton Park before, but I almost feel a little bit bad talking to you about this one because it was a bit of a negative memory for you rather than a positive one.
I mean, it was probably the most rollercoaster 10 minutes in a football game I've ever played in. I don't know.
We're, of course, talking about the EFL Trophy game.
The EFL Trophy game. Yeah, so I don't know. Fans might remember it. They might not, but it was a hell of a game. But for me, that was one of the standout games in my career, playing in front of 14,000 people. It was one of the biggest games that I played in a semi-final. It was a great game and I thought we did well until the 80th minute, and then out of nowhere, three goals and you're 3-2 down. It was tough to take, but just playing here was amazing. Just the fans were incredible.
And I'm sure when John Marquis did score that header past you, you didn't think that you might have the opportunity to play in the final for Portsmouth, because of course it hasn't been played yet.
I don't know if I'll be cup tied because of last season or if it'll be this season's like roster, so I haven't played this season. So if I'm not cup tied, then hopefully I can play in the final, but if it's from last season then I'll be disappointed, but it'll be a good game to watch. And yeah, hopefully I can get my own back in training a few times now.
Being a goalkeeper, it's obviously a position where there's a lot of competition, and no more so here, because even with Alex Bass out injured, you've still got Craig, who's our number one, and Duncan Turnbull and Taylor Seymour as well.
Yeah, no, I know my role coming into the club. I know I'm not going to walk straight in and play at the weekend, so I'm here to compete and challenge, and it's just good all round if everyone knows that there's that competing factor. Everyone's got to be on their toes and got to be ready, and it improves everyone. So if I can push Craig and he pushes me, then it's great.
And obviously goalkeepers tend to have sort of different strengths, you know, shot stopping, commanding the area. What would you say your main ones are?
I'm a bigger goalie. I like to come off my line, deal with like the aerial balls into the box. I feel like I'm decent at shot stopping and I can distribute a ball as well, so I feel like I can do most things that are asked of me when needed upon. Don't like to be too flashy and just keep it simple, really. That's kind of me.
New signing Lewis Ward there, who we will likely see named on the bench for tomorrow's visit to Charlton. And that's the game the three of us here will be looking ahead to now. And we're now asking for your score predictions. 81400 is the number to text those into, starting, of course, with the word Express. Tweet using at ExpressFM, email pompey at expressfm.com, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. But now we're going to hand you over to Conor Mosley, who has the lowdown on Pompey's upcoming opponents.
Following back-to-back league defeats for the first time in 2 years under Kenny Jackett, the Blues are heading back on the road for their next adventure. Awaiting Pompey at the Valley in London is Charlton Athletic.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Tuesday night's 1-0 defeat at home to Lincoln City was Portsmouth's second loss and second game without scoring in the space of just 3 days, following last week's 4-0 embarrassment against Hull City. This weekend, however, the Blues have the chance to get right back on track. Matchday 24 has arrived, which means it's time to kickstart the second half of the season. And here's what we know about Charlton Athletic, also known as the Addicts, going into the game.
Manager.
The South London side are managed by former Leeds, Newcastle and West Ham midfielder Lee Bowyer, who was born nearby in Canning Town, and he spent time at the club as a youth, signing his first pro contract at Charlton in 1994. Bowyer, who's now 44 years of age, represented England at under 18 and under 21 levels, and made his senior debut in 2002 in a friendly against Portugal, though this would prove to be his first and last outing in a Three Lions shirt. After retiring in 2012, Bowyer spent a handful of years out of the game, but Charlton came calling with a managerial position offer in 2018, less than a season after he initially took the role of assistant manager under Carl Robinson. Since his appointment, Bowyer has achieved a win percentage of 41.5 from 147 games and has already led the side to promotion from League One via the playoffs in 2019.
One to watch.
Keep tabs on Charlton's number nine this weekend, Jaden Stockley, who signed on an end-of-season loan deal from Preston North End earlier this month. The AFC Bournemouth youth product has a whole host of loan experience under his belt, including a year at Portsmouth during the 2015-16 League Two campaign, where he scored 2 goals from just 9 appearances for Pompey. Since leaving Fratton Park, Stockley scored a total of 45 goals in 88 appearances across 2 stints at Exeter City, with a year in Scotland with Aberdeen in between. In 2019, the forward joined Championship outfit Preston, but has failed to reach the goal-scoring heights of previous seasons, since netting just 9 times in 65 matches.
Top scorer.
The Addicts' leading scorer at present is 27-year-old forward Chuck Sanike, who is 9 to his name so far this season. Sanike joined Charlton in the summer of 2019 as the club embarked on life back in the Championship, though he did just manage 1 goal in 20 appearances in the second tier, from which they would eventually be relegated from. He began his career at Arsenal, spending 13 years in total at the club between 2001 and 2014, turning professional in 2010. Sanike never made a senior appearance for the Gunners, but instead had spells on loan in the Football League with Stevenage, Preston North End and Crewe Alexandra.
Current form.
Charlton have been a bit of a mixed bag recently, but have still managed to maintain their position in the playoffs, currently occupying 6th place on 40 points, though they have played 25 games already, which is more than any other team in the division. Over their last 10 league matches, Lee Bowyer's side have picked up 3 wins, 4 draws and 3 defeats, with those victories all coming against sides currently 16th or below in the standings. The Addicts have won each of the previous 4 meetings with Pompey, earning the side the title of bogey team amongst Blues supporters in recent seasons. Pompey's last win against Charlton came in December 2017, when now Hull striker Josh McGuinness put the ball into the back of his own net to spoil the occasion, marked as a celebration of the club's 25th anniversary back at their beloved home. Will it be a third league defeat in a row for Kenny Jackett's men, or will the Blues turn their fortunes around? All of the unmissable action is right here on Pompey Live.
Conor Mosley there with an in-depth look into Charlton Athletic, who welcome the Blues to the Valley tomorrow afternoon. And looking into Charlton Athletic, as Conor has just mentioned there, the previous match against this side, Dean, at Fratton Park early this season, Charlton did win that one. We know just what they're about. They're a very good team.
Yeah, they are. They've got a good young manager, a good team. They play good football. And they're 6th in the table. It's a difficult one to call tomorrow. I'm just looking at the league table now, and literally a week ago, I was looking at who was above us, if there was one or two sides above us. But now I'm sort of looking below us, and Charlton tomorrow and Sunderland below that. So tomorrow is such a must-win game. And it is, you look at our squad, and we've probably got the best squad in the league. And I don't say that as a Pompey fan. I looked at the Lincoln team sheet the other on Tuesday night, and no disrespect to them, I didn't recognise one name on the team sheet, but they were excellent. They played such good football, and I don't know. We've got the best squad in the league, and we need to start showing that, and we need to start that run again tomorrow, and we need to get that win tomorrow.
And looking into Charlton's squad, we heard about Chucks and EK, the top goal scorer this season with 9 goals, Danny. But Jaden Stockley, who recently signed on loan from Championship side Preston North End, likely to cause a problem because we all know that former Pompey players like to do that.
Yeah, sort of inevitable, really, but. Yeah, I mean, Anike, he seems like he's been around for years, to be fair. But yeah, I just think if we can contain him, then there's no reason why we can't win that game tomorrow. And yeah, they've won the last 4 meetings against us, but everything comes to an end eventually. So why can't it be tomorrow on the back of 2 defeats on the bounce and go to their place, especially with no fans? I think we all know it's been such a weird season this season, and like even coming to Fratton Park for away teams, they must not really be that daunted because the Fratton Park crowd isn't there. And I think it'll be the same with Charlton tomorrow. With no crowd at the Valley, I think we can cause them some problems.
Got a few more text, tweets and emails before we do leave you in just over 5 minutes' time. Graham Wilkins, good evening, gents. Good evening to you, Graham. He says, a good signing at landing Ward as we need experienced goalkeeping in reserves. Charlton will be a difficult game as they're hot on our heels, and I have a funny feeling but a certain Jaden Stockley may get a goal against us. Going for a 2-2 draw, which I think will be a good result. On a controversial note, I'd rest either Harness or Curtis and give Hawula a run out as he has an eye for goal. And that's and what's the point of having that extra striker who's also fresh and raring to go if you're not even going to play him? Graham Wilkins on the email there. Thank you for getting in touch. Sam Stone on Twitter. Pompey were unlucky on Tuesday. Probably not a sending off, but fair play to Lincoln. They are a very decent side. We deserved a point, but did feel that the goal was coming ultimately. But playoffs will yet again be our likely destination. Chris Lewis says we can't go into the second half of the season with Harrison as the backup striker. Since January last year, he's only scored 3 league goals. Chris Lewis there on Twitter, and a final one on Facebook. Paul O'Neill says, I'd start both Daniels from the start and Jacobs, as Curtis clearly is not at the races at the moment. Hawula must be on the bench, otherwise why did we extend his deal? And he offers far more than Harrison at the moment in attacking sense. Can't blame the manager. We have the players and the talent, and we must deliver. This is simply a must-win game, and we must show up with our A game. Absolutely no excuses there. Paul O'Neill on Facebook. Looking ahead to tomorrow's game, then, you know, we've already mentioned the attacking prowess Charlton are, you know, likely to deploy, but we are now at the halfway stage, Dean. 23 games played, 23 to go. We are smack bang in the middle. We've played Hull and Lincoln twice. We were probably looking for better results in the last 2 games. That's quite understandable, but we have played them both twice now. They are probably the 2 better sides in the division, but we've now got 23 games to essentially rescue and really put ourselves back on the map in this league and challenge for those top 2 places. And essentially, it's in our own hands now. We've played the top 2 twice. Now we've got to beat the rest.
Yeah, it's like I said earlier. I reckon we have got the best squad in the league. We are situated in 5th position. I think you look at the league table at the moment, I think it's the top 7 sides as it stands at the moment, with Charlton and Sunderland below us. I think those top 7 teams, it's between us lot. Lincoln and Hull, they were 2 great team performances that I've seen in the last week, and they're probably the 2 of the best team performances that I've seen in the last year. They were excellent. But I think, as I said, we've got the best squad. I think it's time to push on and start playing. And I don't know, these people that are all jacket out, jacket this, jacket that, after 2 defeats is absolutely crazy. He's been there, done it. He's got a great CV. We need to get behind the team, give Marquis a bit more support up front, and I think we can really push on this year. And I'm not selling for the playoffs. I think we can go one further than that this year. And it's, as I said, 23 games to go. Let's do it.
Yeah, and just a final comment here on Twitter from Blake O'Neill. We need to be careful, but we also need to attack them as we need 3 points. Nothing less. I reckon 2-1 to Pompey, but it could go either way. It's a must-win game tomorrow. Blake O'Neill on Twitter. And just a reminder that the January transfer window shuts on Monday evening. Monday, February the 1st. I know that's, you know, not technically January, but it does end on Monday evening, February the 1st. And Pompey currently have no spaces within the 22-man squad made up of players over the age of 21. So if a signing is to be made over the age of 21, someone would have to depart over the weekend. Stay tuned to Express FM on Twitter and our website to hear the latest news on signings and perhaps even some outgoings if they do happen. Got a score prediction here from John Fitzpatrick. He says, I reckon it's going to be a 2-2 draw tomorrow. Dean Adams, what do you reckon? Just quickly, what do you think the score is going to be tomorrow? Pompey taking on Charlton. Bit of a bogey side, but it's a chance for Pompey to, you know, restate their claim.
Yeah, I think Danny was right earlier. It's a difficult place to go to the Valley when there's an atmosphere, but there is no atmosphere, and I think we can go there and win. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win.
Danny, what are you going for?
Jesus, definitely not 3-1. I'll take a dirty 1-0 or a 2-1 win.
Positivity.
Yeah, maybe we can get back to our clean sheets tomorrow.
Lads, thank you both so much for joining me tonight. My head, I'm not going to lie, is going for a 1-0 loss. I can't see any more than that. My heart, I'm confident we'll get our season back on track. I'll go for a 1-1 draw. Well, that just about wraps up proceedings here on the Football Hour, but we are just 19 hours away from your next football fix here on Express FM.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Back-to-back defeats for Pompey at home. Lincoln came away with all 3 points on Tuesday night, but the full-time whistle has gone and Lincoln City have beaten Portsmouth by a goal to nil. Up next, it doesn't get any easier for Pompey as they head to Charlton to try and get back to winning ways. Join us for all the unmissable action this Saturday afternoon from 2.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Well, I'm afraid we have reached the end of the show this evening. Thank you both to Dean Adams and Danny Crown for joining me over the last hour or so. It's been great to talk about Tuesday's defeat at home to Lincoln and, of course, that red card to Jack Watmore, which sees him out of the next 3 matches. Coming up next here on Express FM, you've got Connor Mosley from 7 o'clock after the news right up until 11 p.m. this evening. He's playing the biggest tunes to get you ready for the weekend with Express Floor Fillers before we've got even more floor fillers through the night. And then in the morning, we've got Ian McGuinness with Saturday Breakfast from 8 o'clock. Join him for the non-stop 80s. We've got 4 from 40 from 1987, movies with John Brown, the Random Top 5, and new music from Tom Spate, Birdie and Passenger. Lily Park is back from 11 through till 2 with more great songs, the Tiny Quiz, and of course a couple of weekend bangers. And Mason Jordan returns with a local music show between 5:30 and 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. All local, all incredible, your home for local music, and of course the local music chart with Mayfield Records. But between all of that, we've got Pompey Live from 2 through till 5:30 to see if the Blues can return to winning ways. They take on Charlton Athletic away from home in match day 24 of this League One season. But until then, Pompey fans, have a fantastic evening. Stay safe, whatever you're doing, and we hope to hear from you tomorrow. Good night.